Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Cleveland Browns tickets are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. And joining us today and right now is our good friend from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. He is in the season paired up with Jim Donovan, but for tomorrow night, the fourth of the preseason games that he's worked with Michael Ragai, that will be the partner in the booth. He is Doug Deacon. Doug, how you doing?
Doing fine.
All right, Doug. So you heard from Coach Chudzinski today, and we're going to play a little sound from that a little bit later on, but generally laying out a plan for tomorrow night that would involve some action by starters, maybe not a whole lot, and we would hope not a whole lot. It just seems to me that, you know, and Nathan and I were saying this earlier, nothing that happens in a substantial way tomorrow night for the Browns could be good. So you just want it to be a very uneventful trip.
Yeah, get in, get out, and don't get hurt. It's pretty clean and simple. You know, and I was telling somebody the other day, I go back to, I think, 84, where we actually played an exhibition game in Philly, and we flew over the morning of the game, hit a hotel for a couple hours, played the game, and we lost our starting right tackle, Cody Rice. And so, you know, that's one of those things that can be devastating, especially, you know, right before, you know, the week before your first regular season game.
And you talk about losing a right guard. The Browns certainly have lost two of them, Sean LaVau, Jason Pinkston. O'Neal Cousins, though, I thought played very well against the Indianapolis Colts, had a very nice accounting of himself, as did Garrett Gilkey. What was your take on their performance against the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I thought they did well. I mean, you know, O'Neal Cousins is a big, strong guy. He's a physical football player that, you know, all of a sudden you're playing in a closet rather than in the outside game room. And, you know, I think he really he enjoyed it, talking to him, and I think he did well. I, you know, talked to Alex Max today and asked him if they both did well. And, you know, Garrett Gilkey is a young guy that's got a tremendous upside. He's just, you know, real raw because of where he played and some of the things that, you know, he's not been exposed to. But, you know, I think he's a guy that, you know, he could be a player for you for, you know, years to come because he's got the knee bend and everything. He's just got to, you know, use it when he plays to stay low so he can keep his power.
Doug, what is the transition like for a player to go inside who's normally – because when you look at O'Neal Cousins, he seems to obviously have that bigger frame for an outside player and used to the different – you know, being on that edge, dealing with pass rushers and so forth. Now that he's in the closet, as you put it, the phone booth, whatever – you, analogy you want to use for guard, what's the toughest transition?
Well, I think it's probably a little quicker in there because the guy is right on top of you. I mean, you're out of the tackle position and you're on an island and you've got to play out in space, where here, you know, you might have somebody on the center and you might have somebody on your head, and if they're going to run a game, it's going to happen at you real quick. So it's probably more a case of, you know, people getting their hands on you quicker than when you're at, you know, tackle, and you might have a step or two to get your set before you go.
As you look at this Indianapolis Colts game, obviously the momentum didn't continue the way many Browns fans, I'm sure players or coaches, would have liked it to, but there were a lot of bright spots. We talked about O'Neal Cousins. What is something else you took away from that game that you were happy with on the offensive or defensive side of the ball?
There was a lot of things that, you know, you sat there that hadn't popped up before, and you know, I think the fact that, you know, O'Neal Cousins, you know, went in and was able to play, it kind of took, you know, some of that, you know, urgency to maybe go out and try to find another guard because, you know, you're going to have a LaVau and Pinkston coming back here in a few weeks. And when you do, you know, you don't want to, you know, get rid of, you know, somebody or trade somebody that might be a valuable commodity for you. You know, I think, you know, some of the guys that were on the bubble, you know, obviously Cooper was one guy that, you know, he needed a good game and he had a decent game. But, you know, overall, I think, you know, you look at the game and some of the mistakes they made were uncharacteristic to the first two games. And, you know, be it on the road, be it on AstroTurf or whatever, you know, those are things that, you know, Chud had the ability to address. And I think the way they responded to not playing well, you know, they realized they did not play well. They realized that there was work to be done. And, you know, this is a young football team. And, you know, that's, I think, one of the reasons, you know, Chud has said, you know, he might play some of these starters for a while.
We're visiting with Doug Deacon from the Browns PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman. And, Doug, so as you just said, play some of these starters for a while. There's still some lingering issues to get resolved. And I think when we look at that cornerback spot, you know, that's one of them. It looks like Chris Owens is getting healthier, which would be very helpful to know where they stand there. But Buster Skrine has been doing a fine job there. We saw a tough night for Leon McFadden, but at least he got out and got some action. And, you know, being roughed up by a guy like Reggie Wayne wouldn't put him in an exclusive category. A lot of corners have had their issues with him, rookies and otherwise. But where do you see that shaping up, and what's your general feel for whatever comfort level there is or isn't at that corner spot?
Well, I think, you know, I've always liked Buster Skrine. I think he's, you know, he's got that one thing you can't teach, and that's speed. He's a guy that sometimes I think, you know, you hate to say it, but he almost tries too hard, to the point that if he just relax, you know, and allow his skills to take over, he might be better off than, rather than getting, you know, kind of, he gets kind of uptight when the ball's in the air, and sometimes he gets penalties. But he's done a better job. And, you know, you look at a Leon McFadden, you know, here's a kid, you know, that hasn't played in a game. So he gets in the dress rehearsal game, and he's got a Reggie Wayne. And, you know, right off the bat, you know, you're given a pretty good cushion, because the last thing you want to do is get beat deep. But, you know, as the game progressed, you know, he made some plays. And, you know, it gets back to, you know, why these, you know, guys are going to be playing, because they're so young that they need all the experience they can get. I mean, you know, Garrett Gilkey, Leon McFadden, you know, they're guys that don't have a lot in their resume as far as the pro game goes, and anything they can get, you know, out there in game time is just, you know, really good for them.
Let me ask you this. In a game where Jabal Sheard did not play, Desmond Bryant did not play, obviously Barkevious Mingo did not play, I know that Andrew Luck was able to do some damage with his feet, but were you very impressed and or happy with the amount of pressure that Paul Kruger specifically and Ataba Rubin were able to generate going against the Indianapolis Colts, knowing that, you know, three of the guys the team is really counting on to help supply the pressure on the quarterback weren't out there?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, they've been able to generate pressure, you know, all preseason, and I think, you know, that's going to be a strength, and, you know, that's probably, you know, the way the Ray Horton wants him. You know, we're going to come after you, and it's, you know, the old Buddy Ryan philosophy. You know, you might get the ball off, but we're going to hit you, and, you know, that takes its toll on a quarterback, and I thought in that regards, the pressure has been pretty consistent in the exhibition season. And, you know, yeah, you know, you throw in a shirt. And the thing is, like, you'd like to get Mingo back so you could have that rotation, because they do have the rotation for the most part in the defensive line. But, you know, you'd like to get that, you know, those three linebackers where you could, you know, swing them around and, you know, make tackles have to play against different people.
Yeah, you know, that's such a strong point. And I think it's such a strong area of this team as we go through, because this is cutdown day and for that 75. And I know, you know, the names that are involved at this level, generally speaking, are looking at role players and whatever, and you're watching the waiver wires of other teams' role players and seeing what you might do there. But when it comes to depth and when it comes to setting this final roster, Doug, and we already saw this team attempt a trade that involved a defensive lineman in Brian Sanford with Seattle. It didn't work out last week. But for John Moffitt, the offensive guard there. But as you see this team working its way down to the final 53, something tells me that, you know, the D-line depth or overload, if that's the right way to even put it, could still factor into something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if there's any position on the football team that's got the depth that, you know, somebody else definitely would want, it would be the defensive line. And, of course, that's helped by the fact you're going to a 3-4 and you're only needing three starters and probably keep about six. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's some commodities there that people would, you know, like having. And, you know, you take a guy like Billy Winn, you know, you love to have a guy that has the flexibility that he has where he can go out and play in. Then in pass situations, you could put him on the nose and, you know, he can wreak havoc on a center.
From your vantage point, you know, where you have a nice view of the entire field up there calling the games for the Browns on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Brandon Whedon in this game, many felt, took a little bit of a step back, and obviously there was a lack of the big plays, averaged just 4 yards per attempt in the game. Were the receivers just not getting open? Did you think Brandon was perhaps checking down a little too quickly? Because he really wasn't under a ton of pressure from the Indianapolis Colts in this one. What did you see? What did you take away from that in the sense that the passing game really wasn't effective and they only completed one pass of more than 10 yards in the air in the entire game?
I think, it was a case where the receivers, I just didn't see the open receivers like, we'd seen in the previous games. And, part of it is, the two cornerbacks that the Colts have, Toler and Vontae Davis, they're physical corners. And they like to come up and, do the press coverage. And I just think, it was a case of, getting used to something, because it goes back to what we've been saying. This is a young football team. Yeah, this is Gordon's second year. This is Little's third year. But they're still young receivers. Now, I think, the one person I'd like to see in the equation, because he's looked good in training camp, was Devon Vest.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's where, that's now you're, if you're going to take away those guys, that's where he becomes a big factor. So, when we get him in there, I think it'll change the complexion of the offense a little bit.
Doug, did you like, I like this. I don't see if you agree. I liked when Brandon Whedon was asked yesterday about locking on to receivers too long and so on and so forth. He basically, gave a polite, smart-ass answer where he said something to the effect of, well, you got to look at where you're throwing. you got to look at where you're throwing. And you're watching from up there, meaning, press box, media watching.
Yeah.
He says, and you see what you see. But down, basically what he's saying is you don't know what I'm looking at or seeing. And again, I you got to look at where you're throwing. He said that a few times. I kind of thought for one of the first times it had a slight defensive tone, but I'm okay with Brandon showing that kind of that kind of moxie, if that's the right way to put it.
I think he's gotten more comfortable in regards to how he's handling himself. And the other thing is at some point you'd like to see him on the sideline chew out a receiver for running the wrong route. Because, you've got to have the respect of all your players, and I think, they respect him. But, you see a Brady, Tom Brady chew out some. You see an Aaron Rodgers, go after a guy. And I think, that's part of the quarterback because, he knows he's only going to be as good as the other 10 guys around him. And, it's nice to see a little fire in Brandon.
Doug, we always see fire in you, man. That never goes away.
Especially in that last exhibition game.
That's right. That's when you get real fired up week four of the preseason.
We will see you in Chicago, my friend, and thank you again.
Okay.
All right. He is Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the other half of the radio tandem that Doug is a part of during the regular season. We'll hear from him at about 2:15. That is Jim Donovan, the play-by-play voice of the Browns, doing the preseason games for KYC, the television version. He'll be paired with Bernie Kosar for that. Bernie, by the way, will be with us tomorrow, along with Brad Biggs, just to give you a little preview. Brad Biggs, who covers the beat writer for the Chicago Bears, longtime guy, is going to be with us as well to give you kind of a preview look tomorrow at Thursday night's game and at both teams. It's still nice to break that all down. We want your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and we want your tweets at Browns_daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and you are listening to CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.